Good morning. I'm so excited. We've just been praising God with amazing praises from answered prayer and just how awesome and great He is. What a fantastic way to start out the first week in November. I just love it. November, I think, is one of my favorite months. It definitely holds my favorite holiday. I love, love, love Thanksgiving because it seems like people are just, there's nothing in it except for fellowship with your family and sharing love and being grateful, and it just is so beautiful to me. I just love, love, love Thanksgiving. So we were just praising God, and we were also taking some prayer requests before the call started. But today we're going to be talking about making godly decisions. And just so that you know, this is Becky Spieth. I am known on Facebook as the Christian Direct Seller, and I'm a direct sales specialist, but I'm also a John Maxwell team member and a certified business coach and consultant through the World Association of Business Coaches. Did you know, to me, I thought this was fascinating, that today you're going to make about 612 decisions? You've probably already made a great deal of them already, but that's what many studies have shown, is that most people make about 612 decisions a day. That works out to be 4,900 decisions a week, and in just 1 year, you make 254,800 decisions. Mind-boggling, right? And one of the things that I see people getting really bogged down with right now is making decisions. It's kind of overwhelming for many people. And what they've also proven through many, many studies is that the more decisions that we make, the harder it is for us to make them, that we kind of like get more exhausted and more complacent the more decisions we have to make. So I thought how important it is, because I have many, many of my clients say, you know, I just can't decide, or, you know, I'm not sure what to do. Well, I wanted to give you a guideline today about how to make godly decisions. Because what I want you to do is I want you to be able to breeze through most of your decisions without even thinking, and being able to really just know that you know and have this good format. I know that everybody on this call probably wants to make God-honoring choices. Mm-hmm. However, many of us are like, okay, but how do I figure that out, or how do I really know what that is? Maybe you've prayed and prayed and you feel like you're still stuck, so what do you do? Here's going to be a good formula for that. First off, you're going to want to tune out the distractions that tune out God's voice, and you want to tune in to what God's voice is saying. There's a scripture that says in Psalm 119, 130, it says, "The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple." That's talking about God's word. You know, right now, we are bombarded with more messages and more information than ever before. We were going through last night and working in my office and rearranging my bookshelves because I read a bunch more books, so I needed to get them up onto the shelf. And we were looking, and we just thought, there's so much information in here, and that we've read all of that, let alone every single thing that comes to us via the television, the internet, shopping malls, billboards, friends, family. I mean, it just goes on and on. But a lot of times that could be what's drowning out God's answer to your prayer or what you're really trying to discern. So what I want you to do first off is turn off any ungodly influences. Now, it tells us in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, and but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So the key there is we've got to renew our minds completely with the new ideals and the new attitude of God. And then we need to press in to hear God. Now, how do we hear the voice of God? I've done a couple of studies on this. You might want to go over to the website and just scroll through some of those different Bible studies that are up there with the recordings. But you will have that knowing, that peace that goes beyond understanding inside of your spirit man. There won't be any question. You'll have that peace that goes beyond understanding. That's a good indicator, okay? And I'm not going to go into a complete study on that today because we want to get through how to make the rest of these decisions. But if your hearing has gone bad from poor spiritual habits, sometimes that happens, you need to build those back up. So what you need to do is just search the scriptures for biblical principles that apply to your dilemma or to what you're going through. You can even Google, like, let's just say that maybe you're feeling depressed. You know, Google scripture on depression. Or there's a tool that I also have up on the website, BeckySpeed.com, that, you know, says, you know, if I think it's impossible, what does God's word say? But it's got all kinds of different things about our thoughts and what God's word actually says. So what we have to do is we have to find out what God really wants for us. We also need to be in the scripture. We need to be able to spend time with God so that we can read his word. He speaks to us through his word, the written word, which is the Bible. Now, if you're not sure where to begin, I'm going to encourage you to go over to John, start in John. You also, if you need wisdom, the book of wisdom is Proverbs. If you need comforting, go to the book of Psalm. One of the things that I love to do is read one proverb a day because there's, there's either 30, Proverbs 30, 31. I would say there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so you have one every, you can read a chapter every day of the month. And then if you read five Psalms a day, you can get through the entire book of Psalms in a month. So that's a good place to start as well. But if you need wisdom, there's tons of wisdom in Proverbs. You also want to maybe grab some, you know, character stories. You might want to look in, you know, Google. Kate just keeps sending you back to Google, but you can Google Bible stories about something specific, you know, finances, different things like that so that you can double check. Now, you want to make sure that you actually have biblical reference because you don't want just somebody else's story around it. You want to make sure that it's actually based out of Scripture, okay? Secondly, you want to seek godly counsel from others. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." After you've preached the word basically to yourself, you've read the word, you've looked up what it says and to the best of your ability around your specific decision that you'd like to make, then what you might want to do is listen to some godly mentors around you. Ask their opinion or if they could weigh in or give you some insight. Look to see if God has already intentionally placed someone in your life that you can consult with. So think about this. Who among your spiritual friend has walked this path? Any of your spiritual friends gone down this road or gone through a similar experience? Or is there a mature Christian in your family who can advise you? Or go to a pastor. Also think, are there experts in the field in person, either in print or someone else that you would know that can give you additional information from a godly perspective? And then after receiving the extra input, again, go back to God and ask again for that clarity in sorting through the information, because he promises one of the names of Holy Spirit is wisdom. So he promises to give you wisdom. And then look for threads of similar advice and principles that you may have overlooked in your initial thinking that others might be bringing up to you. Okay? Step number three is narrow down your choices, because now you've probably got a lot of things and you're thinking, wow, this just got way more complicated. I don't know that it got easier. But you'll watch and see some similar threads, because God is not the author of confusion. That's the enemy. He's going to give you clarity, and he's going to quiet all of the confusion. It also tells us that in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So after putting all your options out there, cross out the ones that are least likely to honor God, and then circle the ones that could bring him the most glory. Because that's what this is really about, right? Every choice that we make, we want to make sure that we're giving God the most glory. Then we know we're on his path for us. Then you want to make sure that you look at your motives. Do certain choices appeal more to you than to God? I mean, I can't answer that, but you might be able to see that. It tells us in James 4:3, "Or do you ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives? Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it on sensual pleasures." So this is just to make sure that you know, it's not something that's just about you, that it is going to give God the glory ultimately. Eliminate any options that are more about saving face and keeping control rather than pleasing the Father. And remember, choices that honor Him will ultimately be in your best interest too, right? If certain choices are time contingent and the pace seems out of God's timing, either it's too rushed or it's too prolonged, you want to discard those as well. While waiting on the Lord might be difficult, according to Psalm 27:14, it tells us, wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect from the Lord. He can build up your strength during the wait. He promises to do that. And we read that in Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and their power, and they shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint or become tired. That's how you can tell if you're waiting on something and you're not seeing it happen and you're like, what's going on here? You'll be able to get renewed strength in the process. That's how you know it's God's timing, that He's the one that's saying, putting the brakes on right now. Okay? So aren't His outcomes always worth waiting for? I think they are. Step number 4 is to do something. I know that surprises you. For those of you that know me, I'm always like, take action, one step, just do something, because that breaks down the walls to the enemy, that breaks down fear, that crushes that procrastination and that stall, and God can take that one step of faith and that activity that's tied to it, and He can do amazing things with it. It tells us in James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, on the other hand, if you're only waiting because you're too scared to act and set fear aside, that's going to be the only thing that you can do. You're going to need to, if you're scared to act, set your fear aside, step out in faith. That is powerful, absolutely powerful. And this is what it tells us in Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded you? Okay, this isn't a suggestion from God. This isn't a, like, if you think about it, you might want to try it from God. This is, He commanded us, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. So if you've been stalling on something or just waiting because you're afraid, I want you to really think about what that word says. God's commanded you to be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be afraid, or do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we don't have anything to worry about if He's with us, right? So if you've sought God through prayer, you've done Bible study about it, you've got godly counsel, and you're really not sure what to do next, you've looked at the pacing, I want you to place your confidence in Him and quit delaying the decision. Just make it. Trust that God is true to His word. You ask in faith for wisdom, and He generously supplies. It tells us in James 1:5-6 that if any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given to him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, the one that hesitates and doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. A couple of things I want to point out here. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, if you don't know the decision, he's just saying here, right here, plain and simple, if you don't know what decision to make, I want you to ask of the giving God, who gives, now listen to this, to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly. So he's not up there saying, okay, let me see. Do I feel like giving this to Becky? No, I've only got so much, so I think I'm going to give this one to John. No, he doesn't do that. He says he gives to everyone, which means everyone, liberally and ungrudgingly. Now listen to this, without reproaching or fault-finding. So does he sit up there and go, okay, well, let's see, she's been naughty, so she doesn't get anything. Okay, she's been nice, she gets something. No, all he says is if you ask, he's going to give you. But you've got to be in faith that's unwavering, not hesitating or doubting. Because if we are hesitating or doubting, we're going to go back and forth just like the waves in the sea. And we don't want to do that. That's what causes that confusion and that frustration, right? So make the decision. Trust that God is going to be true to his word. He's going to give you the wisdom, and he is more than willing and able to accomplish his work in and through you. According to Philippians 1:6, it says, I'm convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. So you know that he's working on it. He's working in and through you. The last component about making a godly decision is to give thanks for the results that he's bringing. In Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him, my heart trusts and I'm helped. My heart exalts, and with my song, I give thanks to him. So instead of second-guessing the decision that you've now made, just give thanks for it. I'm going to say that again, because that's what gets us into a lot of trouble, is we make the decision and then we start second-guessing. Instead of second-guessing the decision you've made, give thanks for it. Look forward to how God's going to bless you. Believe that he will work good out of your choice. He tells us in Romans 8:28, be assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, will all things work together for good and are fitting into a plan for good and good to and for those who love God and who are called according to his design and his purpose. If you are on this call, you've been called according to his design and purpose. So he's planning on working it together and making it for good. So rest assured in that. Believe that he's going to work it out for good because of your choice. Rest in the peace that he sent to guard your heart and your mind. It tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Okay, that alone right now should be a top takeaway for us, right? Don't fret or have anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, giving a definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, here it goes. This is how we know we've made the godly decision, right? God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount or guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So as you build your spiritual sensitivity to follow God's guidance, making decisions still may not always come really easy. But you can grow in your confidence that the Lord's leading you. He will bless your obedience as you strive to honor him with your choices. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So let me ask you, are you having to make a hard decision right now? Do you have one that's really just something that's got you burdened? How are you going to know what to do? Hopefully you'll go back through these steps that we've just talked about, and they will make all the difference for you. We want to make sure that you tune out the distractions and tune into God's voice, that you seek godly counsel from other people, that you narrow down your choices, that you do something and you give thanks for the results that he's going to bring. Now, some of the best decisions that I can ever think that you could make would be to serve the Lord with all your heart. Make him the Lord of your life. Another decision that I think are best decisions is to be thankful. Decide not to complain. Maybe you're thinking, oh, it's Monday. I've got so much to do, or I hate Mondays. Praise God that you saw another morning. Praise God that you have a job. Praise God that you do have a business. Be thankful for what you have. Decide not to complain. Then another great decision is to spend time in the Word and in prayer. God just wants to be with you. He wants to hug you. He wants to talk with you. And he wants you to read his Word so that he can talk with you. I'm going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. I hope that this has blessed you today. Father God, thank you so much for an amazing Monday. Thank you, Lord, that you bring us together and that you are so faithful and so good and that we can ask anything and you will give it to us, Lord. We thank you for that. And thank you that you give us the ability to stand in faith, unwavering faith. Thank you that we can hear your voice and we don't have to guess or go through someone else that supposedly hears your voice more than we do. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, so we can hear your voice. And we know that it is the peace that goes beyond all understanding. Lord, we're praising you for Linda's fundraiser. Thank you so much for the generosity. And Lord, I pray that you will use that seed and you will multiply that seed for your purpose. And Lord, you know that she's praying for her perfect soulmate. So Father God, thank you for preparing him now. And Lord, I pray that you will help her to be sensitive to see who he is, that their hearts would be connected, and that they would honor and serve you and further your kingdom in a way that only they could do together. Father God, we praise you that Kimberly has taken a big step to grow closer to fulfilling the call you've put on her life. So we praise you for that. And we ask that you would help all of us to be energetic, cheerful, and joyful with great enthusiasm each and every day to be productive, to further your kingdom and do what you've called us to do each and every day. Lord, you know Lene's situation over her finances and her business, Lord. I pray that you would just call favor forth to go out before her as she's talking to prospects and customers, Lord. But we also pray that you will bring provision from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and that people want to do business with her and know that there's something different because she's been blessed to be a blessing. Lord, we thank you that you are staying the enemy off of her finances in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask forgiveness if at any time we've robbed you, if we haven't paid our tithes or our offerings, Lord, we ask forgiveness now and we commit afresh, Lord, because we know that when we do not pay our tithes and we do not pay our offerings, that opens up the door to the enemy. But you want to bless us and open up the windows of heaven and bless us so much that we couldn't contain it all. So, Father God, forgive us if we've done that. And we ask that you would bless her, that you would open up the windows of heaven and bless her abundantly, more than she could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. And Lord, speaking of that, we want to give you a big praise and just glory be to you, Father, because you provided for Dawn in two amazing ways so that both of her younger sons can attend private school as well. Thank you, Jesus. We love it. It's so awesome. We thank you for the word that's going to be planted into their young hearts and minds, and that they are growing up to be godly men serving on purpose for you. And Lord, I thank you for the financial provision, even though they had a backup in what the enemy had intended for bad. We're giving you praise for it because you've turned it for good. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing in each and every life that's on the call and listening, Lord. I just want to praise you for the promotion. You tell us that you promote. And Lord, help us to be faithful. We know that you don't promote complainers. And thank you for the promotions that you've provided as we've come off an amazing month end in October. And we look forward to even more provision for this month and bigger and better things so we can give you more and more glory. But we want to praise you for the team member that was able to promote in Chili's business, Lord. But we also want to come before you and ask for wisdom, just like your word says, that you will give her wisdom to guide her new leader in her team, Lord, that you will help her to achieve her goals this month. Give Chili wisdom and direction. Give this new leader wisdom and direction. Help them to see their path. Cast the vision before them, Lord, that they may see it very plainly and clearly, and that they would rely on you for the steps and the next steps and the next steps for continued growth. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here on this call. Lord, I thank you that we know all things are possible, that all things will be worth it, even if we don't feel like it, and that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches in heaven, according to Philippians 4:19. We love you. We thank you. I just want to praise you and thank you for our Thanksgiving month, Lord, that we're coming into. Help us to be mindful, to be grateful. We love you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have a great week, everybody, and I will talk with you next week. Bye now.
Bye. Thank you.